Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Stylish Bride Podcast, the show dedicated to all things bridal style and empowering women to be their own muse. Since 2004, we've dedicated ourselves to helping brides feel confident, comfortable, and beautiful on their wedding day. It's a long and winding journey, my friends, but we are here to tell you that you can do it, and we will show you how. Now, let's get you dressed, styled, and down the aisle.
Welcome back for another episode of Dressed, Styled, and Down the Aisle podcast. And you're probably missing Dee at this point, but I'm Harley, and I'm back for another episode while Dee is out helping our clients find their dream dresses.
Thanks, Harley. I'm so excited you're here.
I'm here, and I'm so happy to be here. Yay. And so speaking of dream dresses, today we're going to be discussing wedding dress regret and what to do if it happens to you, and how do we navigate the situation should somebody get into it?
Well, you're going to give us some firsthand real-time advice, but yeah.
We will get into it, but I guess we should first start with the basics here. So what are some reasons that may cause a bride to have wedding dress regret?
Well, I think that it kind of is the next step in what we were talking about last time about how you make decisions. And I think that when people aren't aware of what their decision-making style is, they can get into trouble. So what I mean by that is you could be somebody who really needs to take your time and weigh your pros and cons and consider all of your options, but you find yourself making a quick decision in the moment for a host of different reasons. That can be a problem. Or you could be somebody who just gets wrapped up in the moment. And for some people, wedding dress shopping is really fun. And it's like, okay. And then when you're gone, you make a decision, you look back and you're like, uh-oh, wait, like what? But I think that a lot of times, at least when it has happened in my career, it's almost always been when somebody doesn't take our advice to sleep on it and they want to make the decision right then and there. And regardless of your decision-making style, you always, always, always should sleep on it. And I think that it's also when you don't have a clear view of what you want for yourself, meaning like you could be somebody that has, everybody has multiple styles to their personality, in their personality, but you can kind of get caught up in showing one that really might not be the one that you ultimately want to show, but you love it and you will love a lot of different things. So picking can be hard.
Absolutely. And it's so funny that this is what we're talking about, because several things you just mentioned, I check most of the boxes there with my decision, which I touched on briefly last episode, but I made a very rash decision day of in the salon. And I was also 24. So I was kind of figuring out who I was as a person, right? And I feel that I personally have different styles. I kind of lean into different ones in different times. And I think that I did exactly what you said there. And I leaned too heavily into one. My other side that was not girly and Southern said, girl, what are you doing? And then just getting caught up and being unsure. And I definitely, something that I think about now is I did not picture myself what I wanted prior. I just said, when I see it, I will know it. And I chose the second dress I tried on at the first appointment I went to. And anyway, so it's awesome to now work in this industry and really kind of see the ins and outs. But then I'm also like kicking myself at the same time, because these are all things I wish I would have known going in. So I think this is really helpful for our listeners and brides anywhere to really take this advice prior to shopping to then avoid the situation of wedding dress regret.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a terrible place to be. And buyer's remorse at any level is hard, but for a wedding dress, it's really hard, particularly because when you're buying a dress in a designer boutique, you can't return them. Like, it's a 50% non-refundable deposit. So these can be pretty expensive mistakes to make. And then also, if you end up having to wear something that you hate, it's awful. So I have had many brides over the years come to me a month to even 2 weeks one time before their wedding that had purchased a dress that they ended up hating, and how to fix it and how to navigate the process.
Right. And then I guess that leads us to, what do you do about it? What if this happens? What are the different avenues that brides can take to really rectify this as best they can prior to the wedding day?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think that In fact, actually, I recently had this situation where a client of ours had purchased a dress before we met and said, we're shopping for her other looks and our after party and rehearsal dinner. And she says to me, I'm really not sure about the dress. So we dig into it, like, okay, do we want to see other things or do we want to try to work with what we have? So I think the very first thing that you want to do as a bride is this salvageable? Like, why are you thinking this? Why did you love it in the first place and change your mind? And is there anything that can be done to the existing dress to make it workable? Because one way or the other, you're on the hook for at least a 50% deposit. So depending on the price of the dress, that's a lot of money, but it's a lot of, like, you don't want to waste money regardless. So your options at that point are you either forfeit your deposit and don't pick up the dress from the store and you're out whatever that amount is, or you pay for the balance, take the dress home and try to sell it, which is its own host of issues, right? It takes time. You're never going to recoup what you spent for it. You have to figure out where to list it, how to deal with the potential buyers. It's not impossible, but it's definitely not the easiest route to go. So if you can make the dress that you have work in some capacity, it's great. So for this particular bride, the most recent one, we ended up purchasing a few. Her fear was that it was too plain. So it was very simple, classic A-line shape that really didn't have any embellishment on it. It was very pretty on her. But what we ended up doing was purchasing several different jacket options for her. So one that was all lace that she was and long sleeve that she's going to wear down the aisle. A second one that she's going to put on at the reception that was really beautiful and tulle and fun. And then a third, actually, it's a belt that we're going to put on the dress once she's in the reception. And it has a massive flower on it that is so pretty and changes the look again. So I think we figured out how to zhuzh it up because the bones of the dress were good and we knew that we could do something with it. Mm-hmm. Another example in a similar way was I had a bride several years ago that, again, hired me for other outfits. And we got into it. It was a couple of weeks before her wedding. And she told me that she just hated the dress. It was an Oscar de la Renta dress. And mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, wow, this is very expensive. How are we going to fix this? So it turns out that the old part she didn't like about it was the top. And the top was really plain, but the skirt had this beautiful embroidery going down it, which she ended up really loving. So in talking to her about it, we realized that she wanted a V-neck top with the embroidery on it rather than something plain. So she had ordered a veil that matched the embroidery. I took her to a seamstress we use all the time in New York that does amazing work. We took the veil, constructed a new top, took off the old top, put this on, and created the dress that she wanted from that. And this ended up actually being, the designers of Oscar de la Renta saw this dress. They loved it. And they put it into the collection the next season and they call it the Julie dress. So that's a fun story, but it ended up working out and we were able to work with what we had again. And this is 3 weeks before the wedding, by the way.
Oh my God. Okay. So lots to unpack here.
Sorry, that was a long-winded answer.
I feel like we need to just reiterate one more time. You said that Oscar de la Renta named a dress after you called the Julie dress from their next season's collection. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is amazing. What an accomplishment.
It was, because so much of our work is done behind the scenes and that's the way that it should be. So to just have it recognized, it was really cute. It was really nice.
That is amazing. And then the fact that you pulled this off, you said, 2 or 3 weeks prior to the wedding?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Insanity. Yeah, and amazing.
It was a challenge, but I love a good challenge.
Exactly. So anyone listening, if you're interested in Julie's services, this is what she can do for you. Okay.
And you're not even our publicist. I love it.
It is PR too. Oh my goodness. So is there any instance in the case of wedding dress regret where it could be the salon or the designer's fault? And if so, how do you navigate that process and what does that look like?
Yeah. So that's a great question. Yes. And basically, I see this happen when you're making changes to a dress that in the purchasing appointment, so you're trying it on and you're in the store, you're with the consultant, and you want to change a certain aspect of the dress. And the consultant says, yes, that's totally possible. We can do this X, Y, Z. It can be done in fittings, whatever. And then it turns out that that actually can't be done. So this happens for a few different reasons. One of which is that in some stores, the consultants aren't very familiar with the alterations process and the things that can be done and can't be done. Or they are just really not aware of what it would look like when it's done. So what I mean by that, and I'm not being very articulate today, I guess, but it's easy to say, oh yeah, you can just like change the neckline of this dress and the fitting. And maybe, but what, how does that actually happen? And understanding like the alterations process and what is required is something that is big. So one reason can be that the person selling you the dress doesn't understand what is required and whether or not the alteration can actually be done to accommodate. Another is that the dress was not ordered properly. And again, in both instances, I don't think I said this before actually, but you want to get every single thing in writing. So if you're making changes to the dress, you want that acknowledged. You want to like see that in the contract that you're signing. That's everything. And just sorry to be scattered a little bit to go back to the first instance. If you have doubts about whether or not something that you want to do to a dress can be done, always, always, always ask to speak to the seamstress. If you're not 100% confident that the salesperson is knowledgeable in those types of changes, always speak to a seamstress. And if they don't have one in-house, find one that has bridal experience and confirm that these things can be done, because that's really the only way that you're going to have any confidence in it. And if you can't find somebody, DM me. I will tell you right off the bat what is easily changed and what isn't, because some changes are much harder. And then I think the other time that this happens is when someone's shape changes drastically and you order a dress for as you are in the moment. And then through whatever means you do, your body has changed. I've had brides that have gotten breast reductions and the dress that they purchased before no longer makes them feel good. And so, but then also I get, that's not the store's fault, but the bride can reach out midway and say, I'm going to have new measurements. And can I come in and have my measurements retaken? Things like that.
Okay. That seems very helpful. I actually wanted to touch on a point, or I guess ask a question about a point that you just made previously when we were discussing whether it be the salon or the designer's fault if something doesn't turn out the way that you'd like it. Okay, so to clarify, some designers and salons, usually on the higher end, do have in-house alterations, but in other times, maybe you need to go to an independent alterations place. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so when you were discussing getting everything in writing in the contract, I guess if you're going elsewhere to get alterations done, is that still the responsibility of the store to put the alterations that you're getting done outside of the store in the contract as well?
No, that's a great question. So no, but you just want to know, that would be more for your, like, I guess like peace of mind that this can be done. If the alterations are being done in-house, then yeah, you want that in writing. But before making the decision and getting to the contract point, if you're having doubts, that's kind of when you go to an external seamstress. And I thought of one other thing, actually, when I was sorting through all of that in my head. Another thing that can happen is when you change the color of the dress. And no, so it happens a lot where there's like a nude lining and a bride wants it to be ivory, or they want to change the color of the embroidery or something like that. You want to try to see a swatch of it, or at least a photo, something to kind of give you a visual. But I have seen the lining color of the dress be somewhat problematic in the past. So I think the point of all of this is get as much information as you possibly can in advance before making these changes and making these decisions. And whenever you can, get it in writing.
Amazing. I think that is very, very helpful. You always have your receipts.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Okay, let's say at the end of this process, changes have been made and the dress is the best that it's going to be for the wedding day, and you're still not the most happy about it. It's better than what it was prior. Do you have any tips for brides on how to not let this bother them or affect them on the wedding day? Obviously, there's so much going on, but the dress is such a huge component and element of that. So how should people go about making it less of a burden to them on their wedding day?
Right. I mean, it's a great question, because regardless of the steps that you take, it happens. And it's funny, because it's like when I meet someone new and they hear what I do, people, like, it's not uncommon for people to go, oh my God, I hated my dress. And it always kills me. And I'm like, oh, but it does happen. So I do think that this is like, it's a choice. It's a mental choice, or like a conscious choice that you make to have a good time or not. Right. So, and I think about this sometimes. I did a wedding one time where it downpoured, and this happens, and it's unfortunate. And when you have an outdoor wedding, and it is really, really disappointing, and it's up to the couple to decide and set the tone for that event. And I've seen it where they don't let the rain stop them and they have a blast. And I've seen it where they don't, and they can't get over the fact that it has rained on their wedding day and that there's mudslides and all of these things. And you can tell that they're just not enjoying it. I do think the dress is kind of like that as well. So if you've gotten yourself to a point where you don't love it and you still have to wear it, which to me is like the very, like, whatever you can do to prevent that from happening, even if it's going and ordering five, like $300 dresses online and finding one that you feel better in,
right,
I would do it. But if you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where you put it on, you don't love it, I think that you have to get yourself into a mental place that you just have to go with it. And you realize that you have a choice, and your choice is, are you going to enjoy your day and live it to the fullest? Because it's, for most people, the only one you're going to get. Or are you going to let this ruin your day? So it's a choice.
It's a mental state that you need to shift on the day and when it comes. And really, that is a really good point. I mean, if you think about it, and let's say you don't love your dress on the wedding day, like, you will probably never like it, right? Looking back on the photos, but you will still have the memory of your day. So do you want to let that completely ruin everything? Or you say, okay, it is what it is. This is where we're at. I'm still marrying the love of my life, and we're just going to go with it.
Yep. It's true. And it goes for any sort of problem that happens. And I think at every single wedding, there is something that happens. Nothing is ever like smooth and completely smooth. And you have to make a choice, that same choice of whether or not you're going to let it derail your day. And I think that weddings at the end of the day are about the marriage. They're about love and about joining two people together. And everything else is a secondary detail. So choosing that and choosing to be in the moment and enjoy it is something that you can do.
I love that. On the same note, as a personal experience, as I was waiting to walk down the aisle with my dad at my wedding, a candle caught a floral arrangement on fire at the welcome table directly next to the big container of sparklers for the exit. Oh, we all start smelling something. I'm behind a curtain about to walk down the aisle with my dad. Important note, my dad is a fireman. Okay. So he did run and put the fire out. But again, it was probably about a half an inch away from all the sparklers.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. That literally happened. And
so you would have all, like, the whole place would have gone up in flames, basically.
Yeah. And we were like on the third floor also of this big, like, industrial exposed brick.
Yeah. Harley. So, oh my God.
As I'm about to walk down the aisle. So just a little bit of side note.
I'm trying to figure out the moral of this story. Is it don't do sparklers? Don't have a fireman at your wedding? Like, what? Let's unpack this.
I think it might be, make sure that your candles are not too close to your flower arrangements, probably. Yeah. And don't put candles too close to your sparklers.
Wow.
And don't let it ruin your day. Because that's
right.
Literally 2 minutes before I walked down the aisle.
Oh my God.
At that point, I was just laughing. So I was like, right, walking down the aisle laughing. So
I honestly, candles are kind of a big problem, because people love to line the aisle in candles. And I got to tell you, it is a nightmare from a dress perspective. Like, I had a bride last year whose veil, like, it was such tight quarters, the veil went over one of the giant hurricanes. And if I hadn't been standing there to pull it off, it would have literally caught on fire as she came back down the aisle with her new husband. I mean, be careful with the candles, for sure. That is a fashion emergency. Like a burn is not something that we can truly fix.
There's not a fire extinguisher or burn ointment in the wedding day emergency kit.
God, should I add that to the kit?
Maybe some burn cream.
Oh my God. Right? Oh, how horrifying.
Right? I guess that's all the time that we have for today. Julie, thank you so much again for having me. I had a blast, and I think this information is really, really helpful for any brides or brides-to-be that may be going through this situation.
Thank you, Harley. You're the best. I really appreciate it and loved having you. I'm so glad you didn't burn down on your wedding day.
Here I am, alive and well.
Yay, thank you.
Until next time, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this information has been helpful. And if so, we would love for you to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts from to help other people find us. And if you're looking for more information on one of the topics we discussed, please check out our resource library on our website, thestylishbride.com, where we have loads of free information for you. If you have specific questions, you can reach out on Instagram. Our handle is thestylishbride, and we would love to hear from you. Until next week, bye for now.